One of the things that always thrilled me was this, that John discovered the love of God in a man, and his name was Jesus. Amen. He discovered brotherly love and found it to be God's. That's the amazing thing. Hallelujah. What a marvelous thing. And this is why the Spirit of God comes to shed the love of God abroad in our hearts. Because that's the way men and women are going to feel it. Bless Him. He sheds it abroad in our hearts so that it spreads out to others. Just as it was shed abroad in the heart of Jesus and streamed forth to others. So God intends it to be in our heart. Think of it, beloved, in your life, the love of God streaming out as though it was Jesus Himself amongst the people. Now that's how it's to be. Last evening, several said words, something like this. I didn't think anybody loved me or could love me. I didn't think that they could. You know, this is one of the dreadful things that the devil does. He gets you into such a state, maybe through your own folly or through some sin or some kind of thing, and he makes you feel that you're beyond loving. And that means in the end that you don't really experience the love of God. Hallelujah. The world is full of people like that. They think they can't see any reason in themselves why they should be loved. They want it deeply. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Just take one great step through that, beloved, and you'll prove that the devil's a liar. It's great when you prove the devil's a liar. Prove it to yourself. You are loved. You're not beyond loving. Hallelujah. Amen. God knows it's the only thing that will reach you anyway. So that's why the devil tries to put you without the pale. And then you sort of consign yourself to a loveless existence for all eternity. Because the implacable devil is in just that position. That's one of his subtlest and his strongest strokes against the human heart, to bring you into his own abandoned condition, where you don't believe that you can be loved. Amen. Now you start to believe it. And if you've never been able to believe that you have anything about you that could be loved, that's the time to say to yourself, ah, but Jesus loves me. Amen. That's the time to say it, because that's what it was all about. You must remember that when God sent His Son into the world, among all the many other things for which He sent Him, and there's a multitude of things that He did, He sent Him so that you should know that you are loved. To bring the great glory of the love of God to you, and that you're not impossible. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, if you're sitting there and you've been feeling like that even this morning, or you may have been a visitor to us for the first time this conference, well, welcome. In the name and in the love of Jesus. And walk right into love. Will you do that? Don't stay on the outside. Get right in. Glory, Lord. I believe you love me. Amen. When it comes, you say, this is great love. But when it's come, you have to learn that it's great in its dimensions. You have to learn that it's great in its spread, in its... In fact, you can't say it has any dimensions. But this is the sort of term we have to use. It's relativity, really. It's great because it's so wonderful. It's so powerful. But it's great in that it never ends. You can never say you've plumbed the depths of it. You can never say you've reached the height of it. You can never say you've gone to the lengths of it. You can never say that you've reached unto the breadth of it. It comes in, it unifies the personality. It dispreads the whole of the life. It'll go down to reach those that are lowly, and down and out, drunkards, dope fiends, abandoned people, devil worshippers. It'll go up to the heights of heaven and join with the glorious ones that see him nearly and clearly. It'll go to any lengths whatsoever. It'll broaden out until it encompasses the whole wide world. That's the love you have in you. It's great when it comes. It appears to be greater as it develops in your life. Glory. That's the joy of the sort of thing that happened here last night. I guess you put your arms around some people last night you thought you could never get within walking distance of. Or thought you'd never be able to do it. But what a marvelous thing it is. For love has this principle in it, that it must slay the individual that loves. Because love in the end is giving. Giving, giving, giving. And the self that wants to keep on getting, getting, getting is kept in death. Hallelujah. Until we can give and give and give, irrespective of our feelings, of our personal tastes or choices, the kind of personalities we click with. You know, these people that are just right. Amen. To go and love and love and love. I can remember when I was a boy, I think I really, I'm going to hand over to Norman in a minute. But anyway, we shall both be preaching tonight, I trust. I'm not preaching now, I'm just talking to you. I can remember when I was a little boy in London. My father used to take me off to the down and outs in the lodging houses of London. Some of you have heard me talk about this before, where, you know, the old workhouses and lodging houses, this is where the phrase, he can sleep on a clothesline, came from. It would be crowded with the down and outs and the dregs and the utterly degraded of mankind. And they would have so many that they'd stretch a line from one room side of the wall to the other, and people would sleep with their backs against it, sitting up on the floor. That's where it originated. Sleeping on a clothesline. And I can remember now, I can see it. We left London when I was 13. I used to start off with my dad on a Sunday night. I'd go down into these dives. They were just about hell holes. I remember one place where they used to have a carpet spread on the floor and hear the stories of how in the very beginnings when these parties used to go down into these holes, they would be standing on a trapdoor and they would let it down, take them down, even while they were preaching the gospel to them, and rob them. Let them down to the floor. That's the sort of atmosphere in which we went. I won't describe all other horrible conditions, but I can remember, I never thought it was strange either. I don't know, I must have been a numbskull right from the beginning. I suppose I've never had any brains. I don't know, but my mother and father used to let me go and sit amongst these drunkards. You know, it's the sort of thing that our sister was talking about. She never knew love till she was 69. And here were these men, outcasts, unwanted, unloved, regarded as untouchable by the normal populace. And I used to go and sit among them, and dirty, filthy, whiskery old men. Sorry for you men with whiskers. I thought it was awful then. I've got used to it. And they'd be taking snuff. I've seen men hooked on snuff. You'd hardly believe it. They'd pull great boxes of this brown stuff out of their pockets and have a little shovel and literally shove it up their nose all the time. It's certainly not laughable. Absolutely held on snuff. Fixed. I can remember sitting amongst them. They used to stink. Really they did. And they used to put their arms round me, and I guess that somewhere in their poor sin-wrecked soul they found some consolation. I think they did. I see that probably my parents sacrificed me unto the Lord when I was a boy. They let me sit there. If I caught fleas, I caught them. That's how I was brought up. But you protect your child, don't you? Poor parents, I pray for you. You think you're doing the right thing. I'm telling you, you're doing the wrong thing. You say, but do we want to be lousy? Yes, my mother used to take home lousy people out of the lodging houses and let them sleep with her in her bed. Lousy women. Did you have a mother like that? Perhaps you ought to ask your children to pray to give them a mother like that, or a father like that. That's how I was brought up. They don't know love, beloved. Nobody's ever loved them. I don't think I loved them. Please don't misunderstand me. I was just the innocent victim, if it were, the lamb, the sacrifice, perhaps. I don't know. I've seen them sitting bundles of filthy rags on lodging house steps, wrapped around with newspapers because the clotheslines were all filled inside. I've known them come along in the morning and collect them, stark corpses off lodging house steps. I can remember that. In London. Who cared for them? Only a little band of people that used to call themselves the Christian community. And they used to go about round Flower and Dean Street and Petticoat Lane and all the notorious places of the East End of London. And I used to go with them. I think I thank God for it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Are you prepared to give your children up for that? Or are you striving to rise higher in the social scale? Nice, comfortable home. Better and better if you can. And I warn you, the older you get, the more your heart will want it. unless you live for Jesus now and keep living for him. They need to be loved. And unless you and I are going to love them and give ourselves for them, they'll never know. And another thing, they'll never believe you preaching on the street corner. Never believe it. You've got to get down there and live with them. Have you ever done it? Or do you take the protective line, I must conserve my strength, I get tired, I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other. God understands, what a loving, sympathetic God. Ah, yes. Don't you think he was sympathetic that he sent his son for the world? For the world. You meet the world at your doorstep. It's all around you. To be able to love and love and love. Whatever you do, stop trying to live a decent middle-age social life and all that business. Get out of it. Get down there where they need it. Hallelujah. What a marvelous thing it is that God can do this. One of the great things about the Wesleyan revival in England was this, that it reached the lowest classes. It was a holiness revival. It wasn't a Pentecostal one, as it's called. The greatest thing about the Salvation Army revival was it reached the lowest places, darkest England. It wasn't Pentecostal, so-called. It wasn't charismatic. But it got down there with the dregs and went and lived with them and worked for them. And I want to tell you this, that man that's filthy and that poor woman that's just a bundle of old rags, nobody cares. They don't care whether you speak in tongues or not. They don't care two pins whether you speak in tongues or whether you do it standing on your head or what you do. They don't care that much for that. They're not interested in the niceties of doctrines and theology. They want loving. That's what they want. Hallelujah. I'm tempted to go on. He says, go on. But he can say it just as well as I. And I'll tell you something. I never knew the thing that Norman gave as a testimony last night. I suppose that Norman and I are like father and son. I don't know whether we are or not. I don't know whether he'd look at it that way. When we meet, we generally say, I love you, brother. So I didn't know this about what had happened to him when he returned to India. All I heard was how God had blessed him out there and made him a great blessing. I didn't know he wept for a month, but that's the second young man that went to India and God broke him. I know another man. He wept for a month. He happened to be with me. He didn't know what was happening to him. God broke him. He's been a new man ever since. That's what's happened to Norman. God's done something in Norman. It happened to my wife and I when we first went. We went to India. And we weren't young then. Since we turned 60, we don't consider ourselves young anymore, because you're not supposed to. But there it is. We went in our late 50s, I guess it was. I've forgotten. When we went, and I remember standing on a hotel balcony in Delhi. We'd travelled north for our first trip, away from the protective care of guiding missionaries and That's quite a story in itself, how God miraculously worked. And finally we landed back in Delhi and we had an overnight stop. It might have been two nights before we found our next plane and flew out to our next destination. We went to the John Putt Hotel, if you know it. It was about the cheapest of the best hotels, in that we didn't particularly want to get more lousy. So we wanted to wash our clothes and have a bath instead of washing out of a half a can of water. And I remember that's just what we did. At least my wife did the washing. I only washed myself. And then we went out onto the balcony. And it was a gorgeous night. Some of you have heard me say this before. And the green parrots were moving through the trees. And it was all lovely. And we had a lovely, comfortable hotel room. And it was just about a month after we'd landed in India. And I said to my wife, as we looked out over the grounds, I said, "Dear, I must pray that the Lord keeps my heart from getting callous. For the need is so great. For your own life, you've either got to callous over or give yourself in love. One of the two, you can only go one way or the other. You either become hardened to the situation, and alas, many have, or else you've got to let the Lord melt you, and keep you flowing." That's the only answer. Professionalism in the things of Christ stinks in the nostrils of God. You've got to give. You've got to, one way or another, always. So, God ministered to Norman, and God ministered to this other brother. I only say this because Norman said it publicly last night. The other brother is not here. But that's what he does. And you must be prepared for it. You've got to go out there for your heart to be broken and your heart to be melted. You've got to go, beloved, and whether you go in England or whether you go abroad, that's the thing that's got to happen to you. Must do. Whatever God has done in your life, that's got to be done if it's not been done yet. It's so easy, it's so comfortable, it's so right. And you can still maintain it going abroad if all you do is move in civilized quarters, you know. You can still maintain it, but once you get out there where the need is, you know, what God saw from his throne, the needs of men and women. He saw their needs, appointed a day when he would be born in a manger, in a stable, appointed a day when he should die and be laid in a borrowed tomb. Not for him the palaces, not for him society, not for him comforts, not for him. Let those who think it's right say what they may and talk about having enough faith for this and that and the other. Jesus had enough faith not to have it. Jesus had enough faith not to have it. Glory be to God. With our eyes on the cross, with the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, let's move amongst men and women and give them love. Shall we do that? Have you got enough to give? How many times I said to people last evening when they came and hugged me. I said, "You've got plenty there, my brother or my sister. Go and give it away. You've got plenty of love in your heart. Go and give it away." Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's pray, shall we? I feel that that's what we want to do. Jesus, the love of God be shed abroad in every heart before thee. The love of God. The love of God. Blessed Lord, let it course through your being. Hallelujah. It is the liberating secret of God, the power. You must realize that everything else that Jesus used was just an instrument of that power, of that love. The cross, the grave, the manger, the gifts of healing, miracles, prophecy, faith, whatever it be, they were just the instruments of that love. That is all. God, take our eyes off the instruments. Love is all. I loved them while they crucified me. They hurt me, but I never said, "You're hurting me." They mocked me. I never said, "You're mocking me." They rejected me. I never said, "You're rejecting me." I loved them beyond the hurt. I loved them beyond what they did to my soul. They hurt my body. They crucified my flesh, and my blood ran out. But they hurt my soul beyond that which they did to my body. But I loved them. I loved them. And I still do. And I have loved you. And this is the love that I have shed abroad in your heart. Therefore learn of me. I will be thy teacher. Allow me to be thy Lord, and I will be thy teacher, and I will show thee the secret way of the cross, and thou shalt love without complaint and never turn back. Thou shalt not be put off nor turned aside, for love, my love, will hold you. Hold you true. that I was crucified upon the will of my Father, and you shall know that too. And the will of my God was love beyond me. He loved me enough to give me up for others. I love you. I will ever love you. Do not complain. Do not draw back. Do not even tell others that they're hurting you. They will know afterwards. Just love. And give and hold nothing back. And in the very blood that they draw from you with their hatred shall come redemption and the love of God. Just keep loving him. Praise the name of the Lord. I pray to you in Jesus' name that when you love and you know the cross, you will know you're on the cross because you will have joy. If you're suffering without joy, there's something wrong. Jesus suffered the cross with joy to do his Father's will. He wasn't dragged as a miserable worm to the cross. He was led by the Spirit as a lamb to the slaughter. Come, Jesus. This is the greatest thing you'll ever do. And Jesus went with joy, with joy, with joy. Hallelujah. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. You won't get up depressed. You won't get up distressed. You'll get up in joy. And it is the joy of the Lord that is your strength. That when you can be strong with joy in the midst of things in which other people go down in misery and cannot get up, you're the Lord's. You're the seed of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Joy. Joy will supersede the weight of all the trouble. Joy will supersede the weight of all the sins of the world, Jesus. I joy to do my Father's will. Hallelujah. Joy is a quality of life that troubles highlight and bring out. Bless the name of the Lord. This is the quality that tribulation emphasizes, the joy of the Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Amen. 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 Amen.